Hello, I'm Pastor Scott Seeke from Amazing Grace Lutheran Church in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Thank you for downloading this week's sermon. Please visit tisgrace.org to learn more about our church. Enjoy. My wife and I had lunch with Ron and Ginger. I've known Ron for about 15 years. When we moved here to Atlanta to start in our churches. Ron was here already, been here about 7 years, so he was a colleague and a friend. We just got to know him well, and then my wife was called over there to work with Ron as his associate pastor, so she was with him for 8 years. So she got to know him fairly well, and I knew him pretty well, and we knew his wife Ginger, and then Ron up and retired, had all kinds of free time, and he's like, hey, let's get together and have lunch. So we were finally able to get together and have lunch. And it was interesting talking with Ron and hearing about what retirement is like. Now, some of you have been retired for a while, you're old pros. Ron, it was all kind of new to Ron, right? And it was new for Ginger for Ron to be retired. So they were just telling us about it, you know? And there were a couple really interesting things. One was the whole thing about Ron being there. You know what I mean? Because, like, for a while, he wasn't there. And Ginger was home, Ron was not home, and all of a sudden, Ron's home all the time. A little bit of an adjustment period for him. That kind of made my mind go, never thought about that before, you know? But if you're around all the time, that's an adjustment. It was a picture of a future I hadn't really thought of, you know, as I naturally thought about my possible someday retirement, knowing, of course, that pastors are the worst retirees ever, right? We're just terrible at it. But I thought, huh, well, that'd be interesting. And he told us about his patio furniture, right? Because one of Ron's goals for retirement was to stain his patio furniture. And he's like, look, guys, if I had tried to do this while I was working, it would have been months and months and months and months and months. Maybe a year to stain all my, I guess he got a big patio. You know, I've never been to his house. It would have taken forever. Okay. But he's like, so I budgeted a month for this in retirement. I figured it was going to take me a month to do it. He said, nope. I finished it in a week. And I didn't even work very hard. And I was like, huh. Because I got projects. You've got projects. I got projects. You know, I got a list of projects this long. I can't imagine just being able to kick out a big project in a week and not even have to try real hard. That gave me a picture of a different reality that I hadn't really thought of. And then they told us about how they went church shopping. Which, you know, when you retire as a pastor, you're not supposed to stick around at the church you're at because then people still listen to you and not the pastor who's there now. It's sort of a bad thing. So he's got to find a new church. He's going church shopping. And I was like, man, I don't think I've ever done that. I haven't. I'm 42 years old, okay? When I was a kid, I didn't pick my church. My parents picked my church. When I went off to college, I was there a year, and I got a call from my old pastor, who had now moved to Syracuse, where I was going to college, and he wanted me to come work for him at the church. Every time I've changed churches, it's been as a job. Like, I've never gone to a church with the idea of, I wonder if I could, you know, be like a member here, if this is a good fit. And he said the two things that he hates the most in church are healing services and singing There's a Balm in Gilead. And they went to this church, and you want to guess what happened? At a healing service, they sang There's a Balm in Gilead. So that was kind of funny. But, you know, I thought about that, and I was like, man, I wonder what that would be like. You've all probably done it at some point. You've gone to a church. Maybe you're here today wondering, is this the church for me? I've never done it. And maybe someday, you know, I will. It's a picture of a future that I hadn't really thought of before. But it's interesting. Interesting to think of. You know, and that's, of course, that's what, 25 years down the road? Roughly, you know, they raised the Social Security age for people my age. So I got to be 67, so 25 years down the road. And that just got my brain thinking, you know, about the next 25 years. It's a long time, but some of you are thinking, they're going, well, 25 years doesn't feel like that long ago. It's going to be here before I know it. What's going to happen in between now and then? At some point, are y'all going to finally wise up and get somebody good? I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. But God has something in mind for you and for me, for this church. A reality and a future that's different. But that future and that reality is going to be similar to my reality in the sense that it's built on the foundations of the past. You see, when I think about 25 years from now, I can't help but think about 25 years ago. And I think about the people in my life who got me here, who were the witnesses that we read about in that Hebrews reading, the people who were an influence on my faith. I think about Pastor Paul LaMora, who was the one who called me at Syracuse to go take that first church job. I think about Carl Richard, who was a mentor, who accepted me at an age when I didn't even know what the heck I was doing, and just loved me. That's all he did. But that was important. I think about my mom, who was my youth ministry leader at my church, and who taught me not just the importance of faith, but that being church together can be fun and interesting. And she taught me how to lead. I think about those people when I think about the future, because that future will never happen without those people, just as today would not have happened without those people. They are the witnesses. They are the foundation on which my faith is built. And we could go around the room, and all of you would have some people who are your foundations of faith, who are the ones when you were young, or maybe not so young, who mentored you, who loved you, who said God loves you and showed you what that was like and did it in a way that transformed your life and gave you a foundation for everything that came after. We could go around the room and we'd hear a lot of different names, but if we went around the room, we'd also hear some of the same names. Because some of you here at Amazing Grace have been impacted by the same people. A name I keep hearing over and over is Pastor Jim Panos. He was the mission developer. He was the one that helped get this church started. He was a foundational person for a lot of you. We could go around the room, and some of the names that we would hear are people in this room right now. Because some of you have built a foundation of faith for each other. None of us exists in our faith walk alone. We're here because of others. But this Hebrews passage doesn't just talk about this foundation as a thing that exists on its own. It exists to propel us forward to the future, to the future that God has in mind for us. And so that future is going to be built on those people. That foundation of faith. We start there and we go where God is leading us. And where God is leading us is to a church that looks different. And what I mean is that it literally looks different, because right now it looks, don't take this the wrong way, y'all. Don't take this the wrong way, but it looks a little gray. It looks a little gray. And you know that. We're kind of an older church. We're a graying church. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with being a little gray. If there's something wrong with a little bit gray, I'm in trouble, all right? I get it. But the fact of the matter is that in 15 years, this church is going to be a whole lot less gray one way or the other. One way or the other, it's going to be a lot less gray. I hate to be the one to say that. That might be news to some of you. If so, I'm sorry. But the death rate is still 100%. I know. So something's going to change. What's it going to be? What's that foundation going to lead us towards? You know, when I hear about that foundation and this church and what it was built on, I hear a lot about kids. I hear about this church having strong youth programs, strong youth ministry. A lot of you have told me about your kids being raised here and how meaningful that was and how those relationships were important. And you know, that's the future. That's the future. But the fact is that it's hard to get kids when you don't have a lot of kids. Because the one thing that parents want in a church that they're going to bring their kids to, it's not a fantastic pastor, it's not fantastic leaders, it's not great programs. The number one thing that parents want with kids is kids. So how do you get kids when you don't have kids? We've already got them. We've already got them. God has already brought them here. God has brought these kids here. It's a miracle. It like never happens, and it's happened, and they're here. And we're starting to get more and more. We had 34 kids at VBS. 34. That's what, sixth grade and under? 34. That's a 40% increase over the year before. We've got 30-odd kids coming on Wednesday nights at Homework Help. Starts this Wednesday. You should come. You should see. It's something. It's really, really something. God has brought these kids here. And so now the challenge is to build on that foundation and carry that vision forward and get those 34 kids and all their friends here on Sundays, in Sunday school, and in worship. That's the vision. That's the plan. Then we've got all these kids. We're not gray anymore. I mean, we'll still be gray. We'll still be gray. We'll just be gray and other things. Now, here's the thing about that. And here's the thing about this Hebrew passage. And this is what makes this Hebrews passage so perfectly relevant to today. Is because that is not going to be easy. In this Hebrews passage, we read about a foundation of faith and a vision that God has before us. And then God tells us that our task, yours, mine, all of us, is to run with perseverance the race God has set before us. I'll tell you when I don't need perseverance. When I won't need perseverance is tonight at 5:15 when I'm 15 minutes into my lacrosse game. You know why? Because it's 15 minutes in. I'm fresh, I got water, I'm hydrated, I'm feeling good, I'm hitting people with a metal pole, life is great. When I'm going to need perseverance, okay, is at 7:45, when I'm 45 minutes into my second lacrosse game, when I'm out of water, when it's still 83 degrees, when I'm exhausted, and we're down by one. That's when I'm going to need perseverance. You don't need perseverance when it's easy. You need perseverance when it's hard. You need perseverance when the church says, you know, we need to do this to help welcome these families. And you go, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. That's not what I enjoy in church. That's not why I'm here. That's when you need perseverance. And that's probably going to happen in some way or another. You need perseverance when the budget is down and the offerings are low. Which, we're down $10,000 in cash this year. So far this year, we're down $10,000 in cash. That's when you need perseverance. And I'll give you kind of a breakdown of that. That could be erased if each family gave $25 more a month. So are you willing to miss Zaxby's once a month to have all these kids? Were you here last week? I was here last week. I heard him sing. That was pretty great. I'm here on Wednesday nights. I see all these kids running around. Fulfilling this vision will take offerings. And you might not be so keen on some of the decisions that we make. And you might think, I'm not so sure about that. That's not what I signed up for. Perseverance is going to be required in order to achieve God's vision. You know, Jesus never says it's going to be easy. He said in this gospel passage, he didn't come to bring peace. He came to make things messy. There's going to probably be disagreements in your family. Dave's going to be like, I like this new idea. Kathy's going to be like, I don't like that idea. Not that that would ever happen in Dave and Kathy's household. I'm just using them as an example. There's going to be division. There's going to be differences of opinion. We're not all going to agree. If we're waiting for everybody to agree, we're going to be waiting an awfully long time, folks. That's just the way it is. Perseverance is going to be what's required, not just of our wants and our desires from church, but with our checkbooks and our wallets. We're going to need to commit to what we've said to give, and right now, for the rest of the year, I'm asking you to give more. I'm asking you to skip Zaxby's once a month. Or what, $25? So that's like what, 2 drinks at Starbucks? I don't go to Starbucks much. Is that about right? About 2 drinks at Starbucks? Does that sound about right? Can you live without it? I bet you can. Because God's up to something here. God has given us something I've never seen before. It's an amazing gift, these children and these families. And we need to keep the ministry going and build it and build this future that God has given us and do it on the foundation of those who've gone before. But it's going to take perseverance. It's going to take us sticking with it, digging deep, and making it happen. But it's a wonderful vision. I am super excited about it. Seeing these kids run around here is just wonderful. God is up to something wonderful here. It's amazing. And I'm so happy to be part of it with you. Remember, whatever happens, no matter how much perseverance is required, no matter how much we all have to dig deep, remember this. God loves you. So do I. Amen. Amen.